the fun stuff. But anyway, so I have a question for us. How many of us would like some transformation in our lives? How many of us, hands, yes. How many of us would just like to see some change? We would like our lives to be better. We would like to have more peace in our lives, more patience. Perhaps our relationships are kind of on, they're struggling right now. And we'd like to see our relationships healthier, stronger. Maybe some of us are looking for a deeper sense of purpose right now. And many of us know when it comes to commitment, there's a reality. That thing that we want, that change that we want, requires something on our end. It requires, we have to make a choice. Are we going to follow through on that? Are we going to commit to seeing it through? It requires work to fulfill those commitments. It takes work to cultivate a healthy relationship. It takes work to improve your health and well-being. And it takes a lot of work to accomplish this task or an achievement, something that you have set your heart on. Commitment requires something in your life. It requires reorienting your life. It requires aligning your priorities that you set your heart on. Commitment isn't easy. It can be easy to say, like, hey, I'm going to do this, but it can be hard to sustain. Now, there's many times in my life where I have committed to get healthy. And, you know, I do well for a while. I get through seasons. And then there was one particular Easter. And then the jelly beans came out. And the jelly beans got the best of me. It was the jelly beans' fault. It wasn't my lack of self-control. I blame the jelly beans. But, you know, that happens in our lives. You know, perhaps some of you, you know, you're not like me. You have actually fulfilled your commitments. You've tasted the fruit and the victory of your commitments. And what you've experienced is that it's life-changing. It's rewarding. But whatever your commitment is, it shapes who you become. It changes your life. So the question is, what are you committed to right now? Who are you committed to right now? What is truly worthy of your commitment? Because we don't give our lives to something unless we believe it's worth it. Today we're celebrating individuals who have committed their lives to Jesus. But it's more than that. We're celebrating God's commitment to them and how he sees each of them worth giving his life fully to. He is all in with them. And the truth is, God is all in with us. He's fully committed to us. Are you committed to him? Are you all in with him? We're going to be looking at how God is committed to us through himself and what that commitment that he's made to us deserves a response. It demands a response. It invites us to respond. So let's pray and we'll invite more of the Holy Spirit here. Yeah, Father God, I just thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing in each of us, how you are pursuing us. You are drawing near to us. Right here, right now. Lord, even if we don't notice, God, you are moving toward us right now. And Lord, I know that each of us is carrying something with us today. And Lord, you see it, you know it. Lord, I pray that just as each of these people are responding to your commitment to them, how they're saying, yes, I'm all in with you. Lord, I pray right now that, Lord, you would just draw near and let each of us know that you are all in with us. Lord, would you just show that in a tangible way right now? Yeah, Holy Spirit, you are moving. Would you draw near? We ask for more of you. More of your presence, more of your power, more of your reality in our lives. Come and move and come and have your way this morning. Amen. So let's talk about God's commitment to us. The foundation of Christianity is not what we do for God, it is what God has done for us. Let me say that again. The foundation of Christianity is not what we can do for God. It is what God has done for us already. So what has he done for us? Many of us have seen the passage or seen the words, John 3:16. You know, sporting events, we're familiar with it. Maybe some of us are like, roll our eyes. We're like, oh, there it is again, there it is again. But that is truth. The truth is that it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his son for us, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever, not everybody's going to believe in him, but when we do, we receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we clean ourselves up, not after we get our lives together, because guys, the truth is, we can't without Jesus. We can try. We can try, but we really can't clean our lives up without Jesus in our lives. Jesus moves towards us while we're still broken, while we're still running, while we're still just trying to figure things out. God is moving toward us. He's moving towards us right now in each and every one of our lives. And God doesn't demand this commitment from us first. What he does is he reveals his love first to us. He reveals his commitment to us first. I'd like to just look at Jesus' baptism and just talk about that a little bit. And it's going to be on the screen here. So in Matthew chapter 3, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented, and as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, resting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. In the other gospel accounts in the book of Mark and Luke, it says, you are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. So what's happening here? John the Baptist is doing a baptism of repentance here. Jesus didn't need to repent. He didn't need to get baptized. He was sinless. He had nothing to repent of. So why is he doing this? Why is he stepping into the water? Because Jesus has experienced the love of the Father, God's commitment to him. He's responding in love towards his Father. He's committing, he's being obedient to his Father to do this, as he says, to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is also doing this to identify with us humans, us sinners that he came to save. Because the truth is, guys, we cannot save ourselves. We need Jesus. Jesus is stepping into the water, is essentially saying, I am here, I'm stepping into your world. I'm not distant, I'm not far from you. I'm stepping into your world so that I can bring you into mine. I'm bringing you into my world, or my world into yours. And then what we see here in this account, the heavens open, the Spirit descends, and the Father speaks to his Son. The Father speaks to his Son. And when I talk about this, I know it says Son, so ladies, daughters, just inject daughter in here, okay? The Father is speaking to his daughter. He's speaking to you right now that you are my Son, you are my daughter. I love you, and I'm pleased with you. So God is speaking this to his Son right now, and I need us to catch this. This is so important. Jesus, young 30-year-old man, living life. He hadn't done any miracles yet. He hadn't turned the water into wine. He hadn't preached this amazing message. He hadn't even gone to the cross. And here the Father is saying, I love you for you. I love you no matter what. I'm already pleased with you. That is God's love to Jesus, but that's not just God's love to Jesus. That's God's love towards you. That's how he sees you. That's what he thinks about you. He loves you. He is pleased with you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he loves you. See, God's love for you is not based on your performance. It's rooted in who he is. It's rooted in his character. And so that means that God's love is not something that we can earn. It's something that we need to receive. It's a gift. His love is a gift to us. to believe that and to receive that for ourselves. And some of us have spent most of our lives, maybe even right now, trying to earn approval. Maybe some of us have been trying to earn approval like I did when I was young, and through most of my, even in my adulthood, I struggled with this. I was trying to find approval maybe from my parents or from other people or maybe even from God. Perhaps you're there today. And this baptism shatters that idea. God's love begins before your performance does. God's love begins as you're in your mother's womb. He thought of you. He's like, oh yeah, this person needs to come into existence. I love this person already. Even as you're being formed, he loves you for you right now. And Jesus needed this. He needed to hear this from the Father at his baptism, because Jesus' identity is rooted in God's love and approval for him. That's what gave him the power, the courage, the strength to do what he did. And what did he do? Jesus made that ultimate commitment, okay? It says in Philippians 2, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. That is the ultimate expression of commitment. It's not just words. It's not just good intentions. Jesus actually did what he said he would do because he loves us. He sacrificed himself for you and I. So he's not just saying, I love you. That's great. But we can hear that all the time, right? I love you, but unless it's expressed, are we going to believe it? Are we going to receive that for ourselves? We don't. Jesus showed us that. He actually did it. He gave his life for all of us. So before God asks anything from you, he's already given everything for you. Before God asks anything from you, he has already given everything for you. God shows us his commitment through his love to us and his sacrifice. And he gives us the freedom to respond. He gives us the freedom of choice to respond to his love. Have you responded to his love, to that kind of love? And when we respond to that kind of love, when we receive Jesus in our lives, we make a commitment. We make a commitment, as it says in Ephesians 4, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, or no longer live as those who don't believe in Christ. In other words, if Jesus has changed your heart, it should change your direction. Your walk should look different. Your life should look different. What you say and do should look different from the rest of the world. We're not talking perfection. We'll never be perfect on this side of eternity, but we are walking towards Jesus. We are moving towards him. We are allowing him to transform our lives. We are called to be different, because commitment isn't just saying I'm committed to something. Commitment is showing that. It's something that you live out. We're called to be different. Following Jesus means we don't just believe differently. We live differently. When the world looks at us, they should see that we are different. Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. So what does that look like? Simply, it shows up in how we think, transforming our minds, taking our thoughts captive, putting them before the Lord, how we speak, how we respond to certain situations or scenarios, in what we take into our lives, what we watch, what we listen to, what we absorb, and how we live our day-to-day lives. We're called to walk differently. It's interesting, in this passage in Ephesians 4, there's an important nuance here that New International Translation says, no longer live as the Gentiles do. But in the original Greek, there's a more precise translation. We can see it in the New American Standard Bible. It says, no longer walk as the Gentiles do. No longer walk as the Gentiles do. So commitment is not just this one-time proclamation. It's a daily step towards a commitment. If we have placed our faith in Jesus, we are committing to walk towards Jesus daily. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. And sometimes we have bad days, right? Sometimes we struggle. We still sin, whatever it is. So we kind of back, you know, maybe get disoriented and we're kind of all over the place. But then we get back on track. Okay, I'm following Jesus. I'm moving towards Jesus. It's a daily walk in our lives. So if commitment is a daily walk in your life, what does it actually look like as we respond to God? So there's three things that I want to bring to our attention. When we respond to Christ, when we believe in him as our Lord and Savior, we are committing three things. The first thing is that we are committing to him. We are committing to Christ, where Christ becomes number one in our lives. It says in Mark 12, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, which means he's not just part of our life, he's all of our life, right? He becomes first in our life. He's not just Savior where we get our ticket stamped to heaven, hey, I'm going there, but he becomes Lord of our life. Not just Lord of some areas of our life, he becomes Lord of all of our life. Every area of our life. It's not a partial commitment. It's an all-in surrender. So what can that look like, just practically and simply? Here's what it looks like for me. You know, I have mentors in my life and everything, and what they always told me was, like, take time to spend with Jesus each day. And it wasn't just take time to spend Jesus with each day. They said, give Jesus the first part of your day. And so that's something that I've been practicing, and that may not work for everybody else, but the point is setting space in your day to be with Jesus. So I start my day with God before anything else, and I get into Scripture. Like, if we want to know who Jesus is, guys, we got to get into the Bible. We need to get into the Word of God. Okay, we need to be in there. I need to be in there. If I want to get to know God, to get to know Jesus, we have to be in Scripture. Okay, so I read the Bible before I'm checking my phone or get onto the news or check my emails and all those kinds of things. And then I just spend time sitting. I've been enjoying this practice of, our leadership team and our staff is going through this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. They have something called The Daily Office. And in there, you practice 2 minutes of silence. Now, this isn't something that maybe all of us will do, but it's been fun for me, just sitting in the silence before the Lord, not saying anything, not doing anything, but just listening. And then we go through this devotion, but then I spend time in prayer just talking to God about what's going on in my life. But it's not just talking to God, it's listening. It's listening. So developing that prayer life, that communication with God. Those are just some simple things. And look, this isn't about like being legalistic. You have to do this way. It has to be this certain book or certain devotion or like all these kinds of things, certain translation, whatever you want to call it. The point is being in relationship with God because he wants to be in relationship with you. He desires that. He desires that, to be with you. If you want lasting, fruitful change in your life, you have to be spending time with Jesus because transformation doesn't happen overnight. It happens step by step, and it doesn't happen alone. It doesn't happen alone. So our first commitment is to Christ. Above all else, he becomes number one in our life. The second commitment is committing to his church, God's family. God's family. We're not saved into isolation. We are saved into a family. We are saved into a family. When you come into a saving relationship with Jesus, you are brought into God's family. And what does family mean? Family means that you aren't doing life alone. We're not called to do life alone. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I learned that I need people in my life. I didn't always believe that. Like when I was 21, I was just kind of doing my own thing. I grew up in the church. My parents were pastors. I believe in Jesus, but I was still just kind of doing my own thing. I was like, I got this. I'll figure this out on my own. And then when I was 21, all of a sudden, like I just felt like my life was in shambles. I think I just broke up with a girlfriend. I'm sitting in my apartment sulking like, woe is me. Just pitying myself, just pathetic. I mean, just going through that. Well, then I get a knock on the door. And my pastor at the time, who's now my father-in-law, opened up the door. He said, let's talk. Let's talk. And so there was a lot to the dialogue, but he essentially said this, Ryan, it's time to get serious about your life. It's time to get serious about your life and your commitment to Jesus. And dude, you really need to get into a small group with some guys, okay? You need to be in community. And then that day, Ross and I went down to the river that was only a few blocks away from my apartment, and he baptized me. It was awesome. And it was, I don't even know how to explain it. Oh wait, I wrote down how to explain it. Here we go. Let's see, what did I say? I felt the comfort and love of God. I felt the comfort and love of God. I really did. And I felt, you know, I felt loved by Ross, and I felt just this fresh start. I felt the cleansing. I felt like, oh man, my life is going in the right direction now. Like I just felt like I had more of a purpose in my life, like an empowerment from God to like, hey, you're gonna be okay. We're in this together, okay? And we're gonna do this together. It was wonderful. And so what I realize about myself, what I know about myself is that I need help. I need all the help I can get. I need encouragement. I need others to help me stay faithful to what God has called me to, faithful to what he is doing in my life. I need community because what I've learned is that faith grows best in relationships. Faith grows best in relationships. Growth does not happen. You're not going to see this just great growth, the growth that you hope and want and desire for, if you're isolated, if you're just staying alone. And what I want to do is encourage you guys to get into a small group. Get into a faith-based small group, whether it's here in this community or elsewhere. Find a group where you can know others and be known, where you can be encouraged, where you can be challenged, and where you can grow in your walk with Jesus together. So we're first committed to Christ, we're committed to his church, and then we are committed to his cause. Our lives are no longer about us. You see, Jesus didn't just save you from something, he saved you for something. That means that your life, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, your life now carries more purpose. It's not just this life where I just do my job, just go for life, and then whatever. Don't know. We'll see what happens. With Jesus, we now have a purpose. We have a purpose. And with Jesus, Jesus has commissioned each of his followers. He's commissioned us into his cause for the saving of many lives, which grows the family of God. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, when I read that, I'm like, whew, that feels daunting. That feels pretty overwhelming. I mean, it is a big deal. But here's the great thing. We don't do it alone. We do it together. We do it with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we get to do this together, to be part of God's cause. Because Jesus builds his church through us, okay? And what happens when we commit to his cause, we become participants in his mission. We become investors and ambassadors of his kingdom. And then that shapes what we commit our time, our talents, and our treasures to. Like we prioritize those things to be kingdom investors, okay? So what does that look like? You know, some simple things that can look like practically. When we're part of committing to God's cause, we're serving others. We love people intentionally, even the difficult ones. I don't know about you guys, but I can be very difficult. I believe God loves me. He loves you. He loves you too. It looks like sharing your faith when opportunities arise. It looks like giving generously, whether to those in need or just to support other kingdom initiatives. And then it looks like just living in a way that consistently points people towards Jesus. If you are moving towards Jesus, you will be pointing people towards Jesus. Because commitment to Jesus is not just what you believe, it's how you live every day. Commitment to Jesus always leads to a changed life, a connected life, and a life with a cause that's bigger than yourself. And so I just want to ask us a few questions before we get into baptisms today. Just want to ask you something. What needs to change in your life right now? Just think about that. What do you want changed in your life right now, this very moment? Because many of us can hear this message and we can walk out unchanged. So the question is, how are you going to respond? What will you commit to? What step will you take today, right here, right now? For some of you, this might be your first time hearing about God's love for you and what Jesus has done for you, his commitment to you. For others, you believe in Jesus, but maybe you're not really committed to him. Maybe that's something that can change for you today. So I want to give an invitation. Some of you today have heard about God's love, but you've never personally responded to it. You can do that today. And the response isn't about trying harder. It's not about fixing yourself. It's not by cleaning your life up. It's about surrendering to the Lord, surrendering to Jesus. And some of us right now might be feeling something welling up within us. Maybe we might feeling like, oh, I'm getting emotional. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. Maybe there's a tear. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you do know what's going on. And perhaps that could be an invitation from the Holy Spirit stirring something in you to respond in some way. Maybe it's an invitation to trust Jesus for the first time. Maybe it's an invitation to get baptized today. And perhaps the Holy Spirit is just touching you on the shoulder, and maybe it's an invitation for you to check your heart, just where your commitment to Jesus is today. He's not tapping you on the shoulder to condemn you. There's no shame. It's just that it's God loves you. This is the love of God reaching out to you, inviting you into life with Him and Him with you. So there's a couple invitations here. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Hey, if you want to do that today, I want to encourage you to do that. You can do that today. And, you know, if that's something that you want to do today, if you want to commit your life to Jesus, I would just invite you to pray this prayer with me. I would love to come alongside you and pray this prayer. So if we could just, we can just bow our heads right now. And, you know, again, we're just trusting what the Holy Spirit's doing. Again, if you feel like the Lord is inviting you, calling you to Himself right now, He's like, hey, will you give your life to me as I've given my life to you? Will you surrender to me? I got good things for you. I have good plans. I have a good purpose for you. He loves you so much. If that's you today, would you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you died on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong, and I commit to turn from them and follow you today. Thank you for your forgiveness. Come and be Lord, my Lord and Savior today. Amen. So friend, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, if you've given your life to Jesus, I would love to know about it. We would love to know about that and talk to you about next steps. And for those of us who have done that, we have a way that you can connect with us and let us know that. We have a QR code that you can see it on the screen here. It'll bring you to a form. Just fill out your information and just say, I committed my life to Jesus, and a pastor will reach out to you to connect with you and talk to you about next steps.